in at home, and that you enjoyed praising our God. I love Christmas. I think most people do like Christmas, maybe not all of it, but most of it. The singing, the giving of presents, the holidays, the decorating, the meeting up with friends and going out to functions, and of course the food. At Christmas time, there are lots of focus on giving and receiving, because God gave his son Jesus. And we sing songs at Christmas time like "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" and "Away in a Manger" and songs like that. And it's such a joyous time. Well, Christmas was not so long ago. We didn't celebrate that too long ago, and a lot has changed since then. But we do this and we celebrate because God gave his son, sent Jesus, the Savior of the world. And that's a good thing to celebrate and remember. It's important to remember Christmas this Easter, that God gave his son, born of a virgin, the promised Savior of Israel and the world. We are now at Easter time, as you all know, and the time that God's people all around the world celebrate and remember two major aspects at Easter. Again, it's around the work and person of Jesus Christ. And today is Good Friday, and we remember and celebrate Jesus' death on a cross. That's the first thing. And on Sunday, we will celebrate Jesus' resurrection of life by his Father from the dead. So the remembering and celebrating of Jesus' death and resurrection at Easter time is because now we remember that although Christmas marks the God sending Jesus as a baby, the Savior, which he had promised to give, now at Easter time, the biblical focus is on Jesus who gave himself. Now, I like to think of it like this. At Pentecost, the focus will be on the Father and the Son sending the Holy Spirit to his people. And at Christmas time, the Father gives Jesus. At Easter time, Jesus gives himself. And at Pentecost, like I said, the Father and the Son give his Holy Spirit to his people. On all these three occasions, it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who is giving to us what we desperately need, a Savior, a sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit to dwell within his people so that we might know him. And on Good Friday, Jesus gave to the world something that the world needed and could not do without, could not live without. So on this Easter Friday, I want us to remember that one thing that is crucially important to remember and is worth celebrating and remembering. And that is that Jesus gives himself as a sacrifice for people's sin to bring peace between them and their God. This was Jesus' mission. This is what when you read the Gospels, this is what Jesus was sent to do. The mission of Jesus was to give his life. And I want to read out to you this morning, I'm not going to take a lot of time, I want to read out to you some verses in Scripture that capture this idea of Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice. I want these words, as I read them out, for you to let them sink into your minds and your hearts as you do so. So I'm going to quote Paul, a lot of what Paul writes in the New Testament. Paul writes about the importance of Jesus' death as a sacrifice for sin in this way. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to read to you some very well-known verses, starting from verse 3. This is what Paul writes. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture." Of first importance, he says that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That's the reason the Bible gives for Jesus giving himself. Paul picks this up again, the reason for why he died for our sins, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Let me read those words to you now. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The reason that Jesus gave up his life is because there's a wage demanded for sin, and that is death. And so Jesus dies the death that we deserve, that he might be accepted as a sacrifice before the Father. The way back to God, if you're wondering this morning, if you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you're on the fence this morning, and you're wondering what is the way back to God, it is this: through Jesus' sacrifice and death on the cross for our sin. Let me read to you a few other words from the Apostle Paul that speak about Jesus' exclusivity, the uniqueness of Jesus' mission. I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. Paul writes, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time." Did you see that? One mediator between God and man. Because he gave himself as a ransom. This is what we should remember. Jesus himself understood his mission was that he was born to die for sinners. That is us. That is everyone ever born. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. Born to die. Paul again writes in 1 Timothy 1:15. Have a listen to these words very carefully. 1 Timothy 1:15. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Paul realizes that Christ came for him. He's personalizing it. He can say when he looks at himself, he's not looking at the world going, "Oh, that person's worse than me," or "I'm better than that person, that makes me right." When Paul considers his own heart, his own life, soberly, he identifies that he is the worst of sinners. Why is that? Because he knows himself. This is one of those moments of great self-reflection, where he's not looking to others to blame for his problems or the world, but he sees that he is the problem, his own sin, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like him. He says that with great joy. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't deny that he's a sinner. He puts it out there, and he says that he's the worst of them. If I'm going to be called a sinner and Christ is going to die for me, then I'm going to be the worst. I am the worst. This whole mission of Jesus was to save those who acknowledge their sin, like Paul did. We also find words to a similar effect in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to read you from verse 9. He's been talking about Jesus, and he says, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he," that's Jesus, "might taste death for everyone." See, the importance of Jesus' sacrifice for sin is explained further in the book of Hebrews. And I want to read to you again from chapter 10 and reading from verse 5. This is why Jesus had to sacrifice, or did sacrifice, for sinners. Verse 4. "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin," that is the Old Testament sacrifices. "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" Well, let me continue to read that. Verse 8. "First, Jesus said, 'Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' Then Jesus said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' Jesus sets aside the first to establish the second, and by the will, by that will, we, the scripture says in verse 10, have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So let me ask you this question. How does this knowledge help you this morning? Well, for those that have come to put their trust in Jesus, it is a great assurance of his love for you. I want to show you that through the words of Romans 8. And you may have read that or heard that spoken of quite a lot recently, but I want to read out Romans 8 again because I believe it's very important this morning to, as we're speaking about the assurance we have in Jesus' death and sacrifice for us. So I want to begin by reading from Romans 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? The kind of things I've been reading out to you this morning. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul writes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present today, nor the future, tomorrow, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for writing that, Paul. That is such an encouragement to us. Whatever you are going through right now, whatever trials you face, Paul in these words is at least communicating this, that we're not to read our circumstance in that we are reading it as if God is against you. Though we may face death all day long, Jesus took on the full punishment that sin required and paid it in full. Friends, brothers, sisters, God is not angry at you. He is loving you, and nothing can separate you from his love. 1 John 4:10. This verse spoke to me during the week. God spoke to me through it. I think it's so apt to write this verse in our minds and hearts this morning. Because in 1 John 4:10 we read these words by the Apostle John. Since we have now been justified by his blood, the blood of Christ, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Saved from the wrath of God because God poured out punishment on his beloved Son for you in the cross of Christ. That's what we're remembering this Good Friday. Well, in this, how does this help you? How does this knowledge help you if you haven't put your trust in Jesus? Well, in this way, that God is calling you to put your hope in Jesus' sacrifice today. Now, I understand people's hesitancy to join a church or a religious group or even to start having those kind of conversations if you with religious people. If you don't feel your need for religion or you don't want to get your help from God, or some people don't even believe that there is a God. I understand that. There's a whole bunch of reasons for that, and I empathize with that and with you. Some non-Christians will be dismissive of the things that I've said and what other people are saying and what you believers have said to people today. But perhaps you're tuned in this morning, and perhaps you're one of those people who God is bringing to himself, and you find yourself strangely warm to the gospel again or to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas once before you might have been thinking this is just a whole bunch of fairy tales, just religion made up by man. Some other people may deny that there is any kind of God. There are all kinds of reactions to the Christmas story, to the Easter event, all kinds of reactions. They may vary from anger to pity to mockery to indifference. All these emotions and responses were exhibited at the foot of the cross when Jesus was nailed there on Good Friday. But one thing for certain is that the Jesus of the Bible is very clear about his mission and the difference that brings to those who would humble themselves and turn and put their trust in Jesus. The other certainty is that if you are at home and are unsure of your life and where you are putting your trust, let me encourage you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because he died for you, and you can find your peace with God through Christ. You know, that's some of the words that Jesus said on the cross. When Jesus is on the cross, being mocked, being ridiculed for all the things that he said and done, Jesus says a number of words, and some of the most powerful words that are applicable for this morning are these words: Father, forgive them. Forgive them. That's Jesus' prayer from the cross for you today. You and I can be forgiven if we turn and receive Jesus as a sacrifice. You can receive Jesus as your Savior and sacrifice for your sin this morning. Friend, he loves you. He created you. He is calling you and all peoples everywhere to look to his Son this Good Friday. He was given for you. Well, I'd like to pray for you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask Steve to come back and lead us in a closing song. Would you join with me as we give thanks to our God for sending his Son? Our Father and our God, we thank you for Good Friday, and it's good for us. It wasn't so good for you, Jesus. But you laid down your life for us. You who never sinned, knew no sin, took on the wrath of God, the punishments of sin, freely and welcomely, so that we might be restored and be forgiven, that we might know you, our God and our Creator, that we might have not only hope in this life, but for all eternity. And Father, we thank you that, Jesus, you humbled yourself, even to the point of death, death on a cross. For us, you gave your all in humility and in shame. Father, help us to humble our hearts this morning and to contemplate the great sacrifice of Jesus. And not just so what we get from it, not just because we have our sins forgiven and that we can have the promise of being raised to eternal life, not just those wonderful things, but that we might give thanks that you obeyed and loved the Father so much that you lived out his will perfectly, that you did it all, that you are the Son whom the Father loves, you are the Son to whom we should listen, and you are the Son who gave his life. So Father, work in us by your Spirit, your words, to change us, to give us the hope, to live out Romans 8 without fear or trembling, but in joy, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God because of your finished work at the cross, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And I'm going to invite Steve now to come and lead you in song. Thank you.